Also greet each of you in the precious name of Jesus this morning. It's good to be here. So bring greetings to you from, Mark has said White, but I don't know if all of you know where that is or not. It's a little town in the state of Tennessee. So bring greetings to you from the Whiteville Mennonite Church from Whiteville, and invite all of you to come visit us sometime. It's a long ways from here. However, when you get on a jet, it does that. You can get there pretty quick. Been blessed by being here this morning. Just the older I get, the more I just enjoy and appreciate gathering with other believers. Feeling the kinship there and a commonness and a bond there that unbelievers don't know about. And I just, I'm thankful this morning to be a part of the family of God. I'd like to just read several verses to you not necessarily what my message is about this morning, but I was just thinking again this morning of, we were studying in our Sunday school lesson, we were looking at the life of Job and just his faithfulness and the integrity of that man in the face of the opposition of his friends. But I guess what really, I'm just thinking again, the blessing of God's word and how sure and steadfast that it is, its unchangeableness. There's a few verses in Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And that should be a great comfort to all of us this morning, a great consolation, and should bring peace into our heart. I've heard individuals who are saying, and I think we would all agree this morning, that we're living in a day when it seems like things are getting worse and worse. Just the immorality and the evil that's in our world today. And I've even heard individuals make comments, it's almost scary to bring children into this world because of what they might face. But you know, there's one comfort that should be a comfort to us all, is that this word will be the same forever. It'll never change. God's faithfulness will always be the same. This word that Grandpa had will be the same for the generations to come if the Lord tarries. It will never change. And that's why we can build upon the word of God, because we know it's sure and it will never change. There's absolutes, and we can build on that. And that's a blessing to me this morning as I think of that. Who can quote Hebrews 13:8? Someone quote that from memory? Jesus Christ. I think that's right. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a blessing. What a blessing. I think you would all agree that we're living in a world where there's a lot of hurting people. And I think if you're honest this morning, that you would say that you've experienced hurts in your life. We've all had times when we feel like we've been mistreated, right? I think if we're honest, we would all say that. And it's part of life. Now, I'd like to just look at an absolute this morning in God's word this morning, and just remind us again this morning of God's forgiveness. for us, his mercy and his forgiveness that he's provided for our sins. I appreciate that last song that we just sang. For opening scripture, I'd like to just read a psalm, Psalm 130. Psalm 130, verse 1, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. He asks the question in verse 3. He says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities. Who shall stand, or who of us would have a chance this morning? Then he says in verse 4, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. There's a song that kept coming to my mind that has become dear to me. I asked Sister Darlene this morning, as she knew the song, and she didn't think it was familiar to her, but I'm wondering here, I couldn't find it in your books. How many of you here know the song, Because He Forgives? Anyone know that song? Okay, I was hoping we could sing that. I'm not really into singing a solo to all these strangers. It's a beautiful song. There's such a deep message, and the thing of forgiveness. I'll just read. There's only two verses. It's not a long. I meant to be good and be understood, but something was missing. I seldom could win and live without sin, with conscience free. One day, as I read, the Spirit led. The truth became plainer. I only can live because he forgives, because he loves me. And then the chorus, because he loves me, there's mercy and pardon. Because he forgives me, my life's not the same. To forgive is a sign of a presence divine. To err is but human. Because he forgives, I know I can live. Oh, praise his dear name. Verse 2, again and again, so prone to sin, then heavy my burden, again I must pray, forgive me this day for losing the way. His pardon to me means I can be free, if I will but ask him. Because he forgives, I know I can live for him every day. And then again the chorus, because he loves me, there's mercy and pardon. Because he forgives me, my life's not the same. To forgive is a sign of a presence divine. To err is but human. Because he forgives, I know I can live. Oh, praise his dear name. We sing that song occasionally back home. It's one of the hymn books you can find it in. We have a little booklet called Songs of Life and Praise, and it's in there. Thinking of forgiveness this morning, what does it mean? What does forgiveness, what does that really mean? One definition gives it this way, is simply to release from obligation. To release from obligation. In the original, in the Hebrew, it was an economic term used in relation to debts. And I think we can all understand that, relate to that. And it's simply meant to wipe the record clean. If there was a debt, someone owed a debt, and someone just simply wiped the record clean. You know, you don't, yes, you borrowed this money, you can't make the, pay it back, and I'll just let you go. To wipe the record clean. Read some more out of Psalms just to, again, just take our minds to what God has provided for us. Psalm 103, very familiar psalm. Sometimes when you read a certain scripture, even though it's very familiar to you, when there's a particular thought that you're thinking of and trying to get a hold of, it kind of takes on new meaning. Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Stop reading there. Why didn't the psalmist say, as far as the north is from the south? Why did he say east from the west? I think there's a very clear reason. There's no ending. When you go east, you always go east. When you go west, you always go west. There's no limit to God's forgiveness. This morning, and I'd just like for us this morning again to just in part get a little vision or a grasp of God's mercy and what God has provided for us. If it wasn't for God's mercy, where would you and I be this morning? What hope would there be for us this morning? Psalm 86, verse 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy, O thou my God. Save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Verse 5 is the verse I really wanted to notice. For thou, Lord, art good, ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Back up one psalm, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 85, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins. Selah. A few more verses in Psalm 32. Verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Now let's look at some scriptures in the New Testament. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians. Maybe you're still trying to figure out why it was what I said at the beginning of all the hurts that people seem to experience in life. And I'm sure, like I said, all of us have experienced hurts in our lives. And you know, all of us have a choice when we experience those things in our lives. We have a choice to either dwell on those things and to seek revenge on those who have seemingly hurt us, or we can forgive, like Christ has done for you and I. And I fear there's lots of God's people that are struggling with those things today, and it's dragging them down and hindering their Christian life because they're not willing to forgive. I've been there. And it's not just a one-time thing. But I think the more that we can just get a hold of God's forgiveness, God's mercy to me, the more I can just get a hold of that and fathom that, the more, the easier it becomes for me to forgive others, to forgive those who've offended me. You know, humanly speaking, when someone hurts me, my instinct, my natural response is, well, he needs to get back what he deserves, right? You feel like that? Sure you do. We tend to feel like, well, someone's got to show them right. I mean, somebody's got to show them they've got to pay for what they did. Is that our place as a Christian to do that? Romans chapter 12 says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." So it's not in our place to do that. We wouldn't, in our humanness, we wouldn't deal it right, would we? Probably not enough for most times too much, I'm sure. But we leave that to God. Response as a Christian should be to forgive. And that, I believe, as I see it, is hinged largely on the fact of how I view God's forgiveness for me. You know, you may have a reason to get even with that person or to feel like you do. You may have a reason, but as a Christian, we don't have a right to do that. Ephesians chapter 1. Well, I think we'll skip that for sake of time. Let's jump into chapter 2. And again, I'd just like for us to get a picture again of your life without God and God's mercy. It's only because of God's mercy and His love. Verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." But here's what makes all the difference. Verse 4, "But God," makes all the difference. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quicken us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We'll stop reading there. Let's look at a few verses in Colossians chapter 1. I know I'm reading quite a bit of scripture here, not making a whole lot of comments on these scriptures, but I'd like for us, again, just to allow the Word of God to speak to your heart as you think about the mercy and the forgiveness of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Just a few more verses in 1 John chapter 1 in relating to God's forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1. Very familiar verses, again, but just some blessed promises. 1 John 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not just some, but all. Beautiful promise. So now as I think, as you think, reflect on God's goodness and his mercy, his forgiveness, that he's extended to each and every one of us. The Bible says, even while we were yet dead in sins and trespasses, God loved us. He sent his only Son, Jesus. Think of all the false, the pure Jesus, the pure, sinless Son of God, all the false accusations that came against him. They were false. And yet, in the midst of all that, his suffering, the scourgings, the beatings, nailing him to the cross, in all of that, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And it takes that love in our hearts today for you and I to be able to forgive those who wrong us. We can't do it on our own strength. It takes first of all, an experience of God's grace and God's love in my heart to be able to forgive others. I'd like to just look briefly at a few scriptures that point out our responsibility as Christians, as children of God, to forgive. Luke 23. I guess that was the scripture I just referred to. I didn't have a note with that, but that's the scripture, the verse there in verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. All right, let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. This is what we often refer to as the Lord's Prayer. And I think I've often heard this prayer, said this prayer, and not really fully comprehending what is said in this prayer. These are Jesus' own words. Verse 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And verse 12 is the verse I want us to really think about. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Do you really believe that? That the forgiveness that you experience in your life from God is in direct proportion to the way that you forgive others? Is it any wonder we struggle sometimes in our Christian life as you think about how that you forgive others? The Bible says that if I don't forgive others, I'm not going to experience the forgiveness of God in my heart, my life. And so I think it's so vital, it's so important that we get a hold of that truth. Because how can I experience the blessing of God in my life if I'm not experiencing the forgiveness of God? And again, I think I found in my life, when I find it hard to forgive others, I need to go back and just reflect again and again on what I've been forgiven from. Who am I? I mean, it's only by the grace and the mercy of God that I've been forgiven. And God wants us, one of the most beautiful testimonies of God's children is to exemplify that. Because that is not the natural man to forgive. Our natural tendency is to show him what's right. Take him to court. You know, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. That's our natural inclination to do that. That is not human to simply forgive. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 18. And I think this is probably one of the most clearest illustrations here of what we're trying to say here this morning. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Listen carefully. Think through this story here as you think about God's forgiveness and our responsibility of forgiving others. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Who could tell me, one of you children, what is 70 times seven? Surely someone knows. How much? Not quite. What did I hear back there? 490. So what, if someone, if let's say the same person would come and wrong you 490 times in one day, you should still forgive him the 490th time? Is that really what Jesus means? I mean, how could you do that? I don't think he meant to stop at 490. I think he just, you know, Peter asked till seven times, and Jesus just said not until seven times, but until 70 times seven. In other words, doesn't matter how often it is. Not that we keep track. We don't keep track of how often, but we just forgive again. Unless you misunderstand me this morning, I don't think Jesus is in any way indicating that the thing of just overlooking sin. But you know, we become so, I'm amazed sometimes how easily I become offended by what someone just says. And we surmise things. We assume things just like Job's friends did. And they're not accurate. And we start dwelling on those things. And first thing we know, it's just an ongoing thing. And we know we're so right, right? And then if we continue to dwell on that, and then it's the thing of bitterness setting. And brother shared that in the devotional this morning, the thing of bitterness. That's an awful thing that's so sneaky that can get into our lives and we don't even know it sometimes. I think it can be there and we don't really realize what's happening. But that thing starts to take root in our hearts, and the more it takes root in us, the harder it, you know, we just, you know, well, he wronged me, and I, you know, and it's a terrible, terrible thing that we need to root out of our lives. Let's continue to read in verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. And I didn't look into what that would calculate in today's money. Maybe some of you Bible scholars have a better idea of what that would calculate into today's currency, but I'm just going to use a figure of $5 million, okay, which owed him $5 million. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and he found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. If we could say $10. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Verse 35, something that just caught my attention that I don't know that just really caught my attention, gripped me like it did when I was studying this morning when I read that verse. It says, if ye, doesn't just say if ye forgive not. It says, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother. Again, I believe it's very clear. The message is very clear to us here this morning that God has forgiven us much. And God expects that from you and I, and share that with others, to forgive others. I've got a reading here that I came across recently, and I like to just read this to you. The title is simply "Let Go of the Past," and this is written as though God was writing this. Let go of the past. My child, give up those hurts of the past. It's time to move on. Satan loves to have you live in the past because that renders you ineffective to live in the present, in the now. Tell me, child, what is it that has happened to you? Who hurt you? What mistakes have you made that you regret? Did what happened to you change the fact that Jesus loves you and that he died on the cross for you so you could live in heaven with me for all eternity? Can anything or anyone ever change that fact? You know that nothing can ever nullify what Jesus did for you on the cross. If that's true, and it is, then nothing else matters, does it? There is nothing that can happen to you, nothing anyone can do to you that can ever change the fact that my son, Jesus, loves you and died on the cross for you so you can gain heaven for all eternity. No one can ever take away that from you. No one. Hold on to that thought. Put things in their proper perspective. When you do that, you'll see that being loved unconditionally, attaining salvation and the right to go to heaven is your ultimate goal. Everything else pales in comparison to that. Even physical death cannot take heaven away from you, for then the real you, your spirit, just changes. Abodes. Physical death for Christians is moving from living in the temple of the Holy Spirit, your body, to living in heaven. I know, my child, I know. Your mind is often filled with hurtful things that happen to you. Sometimes you even say to people, you don't know how much it hurt me when such and such happened. Well, I ask you again, does what happens to you in the past change the fact that Jesus loves you and died for you, and now you can spend eternity with him in heaven? I don't have to wait for your answer because I know immediately your mind said no. Then, child, nothing else matters. Compared to eternity, all problems are nothing. Loving me, being in my family, gaining the right to live in heaven for eternity, that's what's important in life. If you lose that, you've lost it all. Don't hold grudges. Forgive. Nothing that you gain on earth can make up for that loss. And nothing can happen to you on earth that can take that away from you. nothing. Love God. This morning, if you find it hard to forgive, I challenge you to just simply reflect again and again on God's forgiveness that He's extended to you. In closing, I like to just, I have several questions here that may be able to help us. In just realizing, have I really forgiven or not? Question number one is, do I rejoice at that the other person's misfortune? If the person that has offended me, how do I feel when they have a misfortune? Question number two, do I find fault with that individual? Do I find it easy to find fault with that individual? Number three, do I try to avoid them? Question number four, do I enjoy gossip about those individuals? Question number five, do I find myself reviewing those hurts again and again? And number six, be kind. How easy do you find it to just simply be kind to those individuals? Kindness, I believe, is a test of the depth of our forgiveness. Simply being kind. Well, there's lots more that could be shared on forgiveness. You think of examples in the Bible. One of the most beautiful examples of forgiveness is the life of Joseph. The way that his brothers treated him, and it's very clear as you read that account that Joseph chose to forgive. God always has blessings in store for us when we follow His ways. There's a little chorus that we sing sometimes, and I'm curious if you know this chorus. God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again. Some of the words, I'm just a little blank on some of the words myself, but the message in that chorus is that we've been given freely, and God expects us to give freely. And I think that applies to that of forgiveness, that we have freely received. Now Jesus is saying, freely give. So may God bless you as you continue your Christian journey. May God help us to forgive. And again, if you find it hard to forgive, reflect again and again on God's forgiveness that He has provided for you and I. May God bless you and invite all of you to come see us in Tennessee sometime. I'll turn the time over to Brother Marcus again.